sense and rational thought are a reality. The Rick Smith Show.
Working hard to make a left. Rich out of poverty. Father, son, left a candy on. Blue denim had his vein. He's a rookie class.
So the big question now that Trump has said he's going to sign, there'll be no shutdown. That's a good thing. But now he says we're going to declare that national emergency. That, look, I think everybody knew it was coming. This was his way out. Lindsey Graham gave him the way out. You knew eventually this was going to go this way. Because, look, it's all about the campaign issue in 2020. I don't think it's really about the wall. So this is what it is. Now, the question is, you know, what's Nancy Pelosi, what's Congress going to do, which is why I've got Congressman Mike Levin on the phone from California. Mike, thanks for taking time for us.
You got it. It's always great to be with you.
So that's the million-dollar question right now. You know, Trump is now, he's staked the flag in the ground. What are you guys going to do?
Well, we're not going to allow the president to get away with it, I can tell you that. We are going to fight however we can. I think it's an abuse of power. I think it's very likely unconstitutional. And as you know, the crisis at our border is one that President Trump manufactured through his own inhumane policies of things like family separation and limiting access to asylum, turning back asylum seekers at the border. And we are going to support every effort to challenge his emergency declaration. We'll do that in court and ultimately with the power of the grassroots. And look forward to voting here in a bit, you know, just a little bit on the appropriations bill, which was hammered out. And I hope your audience understands just how hard our side fought. I think it's an extremely good compromise. It's not perfect. Nothing ever is in the legislative process. But we have denied the president the billions of dollars that he demanded for the wall. And it's actually a better deal for Democrats than the one that we offered up before the first shutdown. So I think the president saw that maybe he wasn't the deal maker that he thought. I would expect that he's probably going to blame Senate Republicans, which I think is a cop-out. The president, ultimately, if he's such a great deal maker, he didn't show it in the last 2-3 months. And, you know, at the same time, the compromise helps fund a more humane immigration system. I hope that breaks through the narrative as well.
Right.
We're funding over $400 million for new medical support, transportation, food, clothing, for children, families, family case management, alternatives to detention, and other prohibitions on the way ICE uses information. So this is it was a hard-fought compromise, and we ultimately got a very good deal. And the other thing, which you might find of interest, is we are finally going to deliver a pay raise to our federal workers. So the president wanted to keep pay frozen, and we're going to have a 1.9% raise for federal civilian workers, and that's going to override Trump's decision to deny them a raise. And we're also going to invest in the census, another $1 billion in the census, so that we ensure a fair count. And I'm sure you know that the president had a full-fledged assault on the census. So I'm really proud of how hard our side fought on this. And for the president now to declare an emergency, crying over spilled milk, we're going to fight him on that too.
I got to tell you, as I started off today with you, it's amazing. Democrats took back the House, historic number of women in the House now, and it seems like the Democratic Party, they've now grown a pair. They seem to have a spine where they didn't before. Because, look, I mean, this, I don't know that this could have happened in the last several years. I'll put that right out there. I don't know that the Democrats of 5 years ago would have fought this fight.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm sure you saw the State of the Union. I had to see it. I was there. It's actually an incredible honor. It's the first time I've ever been in person at a State of the Union. Obviously the president's speech was sort of all over the place. He started out talking about compromise, but then laid out a bunch of policies that were anything but bipartisan in nature. And my favorite part of the speech was when Trump mentioned the large number, unprecedented number of new women in Congress who were all wearing white. I was sitting with my friend Donna Shalala, and, you know, in a sea of white. And we started chanting USA, USA. And that was in response to an earlier part of the speech when the Republicans had started a chant of USA, USA. I don't exactly remember for what, but I think it was when the president said that we all should embrace winning or something like that. So they all started chanting that.
Because who hates winning?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Although Don Jr. said that, you know, teachers are losers, so, you know, he probably doesn't think they're winning. But anyhow, all the wonderful female members, we all started chanting USA. And for me, that was the best moment in the speech, because isn't that what America's all about? The opportunity to have a diverse, broad set of perspectives that is fully reflective of the America that I know, the values that we share. And ultimately, we're fighting again for working people in a way that we haven't done in the Congress for many years.
And no, I'm with you.
We're only just getting started.
No, I'm thrilled of all the pieces of legislation I'm seeing that are coming out that are worker-centric. But, you know, that moment, too, you know, I saw that moment, and I guess I had a little different take. My take on it was, without him, chances are that number of women wouldn't have been there, because really, you know, as obnoxious and as outrageous as he has become, he has brought millions of women and millions of people to activism that may have never, ever even considered it in the past.
Well, and a number of us would not have run, frankly, you know, had, I think I've told you this, but on election night 2016, I was watching at the Javits Convention Center in New York City, fully expecting Hillary Clinton to become the president of the United States. And when that didn't happen, it was on the plane ride back from New York back to California that I started mapping out what a run for Congress might look like. And you know, I think so many were inspired by kind of that shock to the system, where the beliefs, the values that we believe about our country, where we're better when we embrace justice and equality, whether it be social justice or economic justice, environmental justice. This president doesn't espouse those values and ultimately embraces division and chaos. And I think so many of us, to repudiate those sorts of things and to embrace the values we believe in, we said, you know, there is no time more important than now for us to stand up and to run ourselves. And ultimately, many first-time candidates like myself wound up winning, and now we're serving, and we're not here to be wallflowers. We're here to get things done for the people again.
No, and you, look, so far what I've seen, I'm absolutely thrilled with, and I think, you know, this could be the beginning of a new Democratic Party that takes us back to the roots of FDR and you know, really caring about working people. Because, you know, the thing I get from a lot of folks is, you know, wow, the Democrats, they're just as bad as the Republicans on worker issues, and for years they have been. And I'm thrilled to see this renewed push towards equality and helping people to achieve that American dream. And, you know, that thing that I grew up with, that if you worked hard, you played by the rules, you got ahead. So let me ask you the other side of this. I mean, your first time congressman, you know, have you had a moment to enjoy being where you are at, or has this just been just a fire hose of learning and a fire hose of you know, just because every day it's something. Every day you're being just smashed
well,
over the head with something.
So the answer is yes, I enjoy every minute of it, just about. Yes, it's been a fire hose. So both of those things are true, Rick. It's been absolutely incredible. I still get goosebumps when I go out onto the floor of the House, as I'll do in about 10 or 20 minutes, to go out and vote. When I see my vote count on behalf of over 700,000 people back home, that's an incredible experience. And you know, ultimately, it might be my name on the door, but it's their office. It's the people of our district, so many of whom got active and engaged in the process for the first time. And that's where I think so many of us that are here, we want to be as transparent, as accountable, and as available as possible. And that's the inverse of those who preceded us in many cases. For me, I'm doing a town hall every month, open to the public, and hopeful that people of all perspectives, including those who feel as though Politics doesn't matter. I hope that they join us as well, all throughout our district. And, you know, the one who was doing that really inspired me was Beto O'Rourke, watching him do nearly 100 town halls in El Paso, Texas, over the course of his service. And I said, hey, that ought to be the new standard. So I think a lot of us freshmen are doing the monthly town halls. Contrast that with my predecessor, who did 3 town halls in 16 years. The last 2 in the last year, when he felt that his back was against the wall and he was going to lose re-election before finally he retired. But ultimately, we shouldn't hide as representatives. We need to go and be accountable and transparent, and ultimately do the work of the people by gathering the input of as many people as we can, and not just those who are wealthy and connected and powerful, but ultimately those who feel as though their voice isn't being heard.
I'm thrilled to have someone like you in Congress. You're a good guy. I appreciate the time. Last question I've got for you. Beto or Trump, who had the bigger rally? Evidently, it's in dispute. Evidently,
if you listen to Trump, there was an arena of 8,000, except there were, 35,000 outside. And this is, when he did an event in Orange County at a venue that holds about 7,000, they claimed there was 35,000. So unless there was a really long line outside, I think Beto may have had him beat. But people ask me who I support in 2020, and the answer is anybody not named Trump, or Pence, for that matter.
Too soon to tell. I mean,
soon. I just want a good, solid, progressive president who's going to work with us to get the people's work done again.
I'm right there with you. Mike, I appreciate the time. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Always happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff, our good friend Mike Levin. Look, at the end of it, it's going to be interesting to see what Congress comes up with. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.